Divided into two parts, and one can estimate the size of the upper part by knowing that of the lower part. So expert geographers instruct one can understand the measurement of the upper part of the universe by knowing those of the lower part. The sky between the earthly sphere and heavenly sphere is called under rich or outer space that adjoins the top of the sphere of earth and the bottom of that of heaven. In the midst of that region of outer space is the most opulent sun, the king of all planets that emanates heat, such as the moon. And by the influence of radiation, the sun heats the universe and maintains its proper order. It also gives light to help all living entities see. While passing towards the north, towards the south, through the equator, in accordance with the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is said to move slowly, swiftly, or moderately, according to its movements in rising above, going beneath, or passing through the equator, and correspondingly coming in touch with various signs of the zodiac, headed by Makara. Days and nights are short, long, or equal to one another. Wherefore Lord Brahma says, praise of Brahma Sanita, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the Supreme Personality of God, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light. Although the sun is described as Bhagavan, the most powerful, although it is actually the most powerful planet within the universe, it nevertheless has to carry out the order of Govinda Krishna. A sun god cannot deviate even an inch from the orbit designated to him, therefore in every sphere of life. The supreme order of the Supreme Personality of God is carried out. The entire material nature carries out his orders. However, we foolishly see the activities of material nature without understanding the supreme order and the supreme person behind them. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshina Prakriti, material nature carries out the order of the Lord, and thus everything is maintained in an orderly way. When the sun passes through Mesha and Tula, the durations of night and day are equal. When it passes through the five signs said by Vrishabha, the durations of the day increase, and then it gradually decreases by half an hour each month until day and night again become equal in Libra. When the sun passes through the five signs, beginning with Rishika, the duration of the day decreases and then gradually increases month after month until day and night become equal in Aries. Until the sun travels to the south, the days grow longer, and until it travels to the north, the nights grow longer. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, as stated before, the learned say that the sun travels all over all sides of Manasapara mountain in a circle whose length is 95,100,000 yojanas, or 760,800,000 miles. On Manasapara mountain, due east of Mount Sumeru, is a place known as Devadani, possessed by King Indra. Similarly, in the south is a place known as Samyamani, possessed by Yamaraj. In the west is a place known as Nimlochani, possessed by Varuna. In the north is a place named Vibhavari, possessed by the moon god. Sunrise, midday, sunset, and midnight occur in all those places according to specific times. Thus, engaging all living entities in their various occupational duties and also making them successfully. The living entities residing on Sumeru Mountain are always very warm as at midday, because for them the sun is always overhead. Although the sun moves counterclockwise, facing the constellations, with Sumeru on its left, and also moves clockwise and appears to have the mountains on its right because it is influenced by the Dakshinavarta wind. People living in countries at points diametrically opposite to where the sun is first seen rising will see the sun setting. And if a straight line were drawn from a point where the sun is at midday, the people in countries at the opposite end of the line would be experiencing midnight. Similarly, if people residing where the sun is setting were to go to countries diametric opposite, they would not see the sun in the same condition. When the sun travels from Devadani, the residence of Indra, to Samyami, the residence of Yamaraja, it travels 23,775 yojanas in 15 katikas, or 6 hours. The distance indicated by the word sadhikani is panchavimsati sahasradhikani, or 25,000 yojanas. That plus 2.5 crores and 12.5 laksha of yojanas is the distance the sun travels between each two cities. This comes to 23,775,000 yojanas, or 190,200,000 miles. The total orbit of the sun is 4 times the distance, or 95,100,000 yojanas. From the residence of Yamaraj, the sun travels to Nimlochani, the residence of Varuna, and from there to Vibhavari, the residence of the moon god, and from there again to the residence of Indra. In a similar way, the moon, although along with other stars and planets, become visible in the celestial sphere and then set again and become invisible. For a part in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Nakshanana Mahamsa Si, of the stars I am the moon. This indicates that the moon is similar to the other stars. The Vedic literature informs us that within this universe there is one sun which is moving. In Western theory, that all the luminaries in the sky are different suns is not confirmed in the literature. Nor can we assume that these luminaries are the suns of the universes, for each universe is covered by various pairs of material elements, and therefore, though the universes are clustered together, we cannot see from one universe to another. In other words, whatever we see is within this one universe. In each universe, there is one Lord Brahma, and there are other demigods or other planets, but there is only one sun. Thus the chariot of the sun god, which is Trihi Maya, or worshipped by the words Vurdhu Vasva, travels through the four residences mentioned above at a speed of 3,480,400 yojanas in the Muhurta. The chariot of the sun god has only one wheel, which is known as Samvatsara. The 12 months are calculated to be its 12 spokes. The 6 seasons are the sections of its rim, and the 3 Chaturmasa periods are its 3 section hub. One side of the axle carrying the wheel rests upon the summit of Mount Meru, and the other rests upon Manasatara Mountain. Affixed to the outer end of the axle, the wheel continually rotates on Manasatara Mountain like the wheel of an oil pressing machine. As an oil pressing machine, this first axle is attached to a second axle which is 1/4 as long. The upper end of the second axle is attached to the Dhruva Loka by a rope of wind. My dear king, the carriage of the sun god's chariot is estimated to be 3,600 yojanas long and 1/4 as wide. The chariot's horses, which are named after Gaya and other Vedic meters, are harnessed by Runadeva to the yoke that is 900,000 yojanas wide. This chariot continually carries the sun god. In Vishnu Purana, it is said, Gayatri cha brihati vashnim jagati kristupeva cha anushtu pankir yoga sandam si harayo rave. The 7 horses yoked to the sun god's chariot are named Gayatri, Brihati, Vashnim, Jagati, Kristup, Anushtup, and Pankti. These names are various Vedic meters to distinguish the 7 horses that carry the sun god's chariot. Although Arunadeva sits in front of the sun god as engaged in driving the chariot and controlling the horse, he looks backward towards the sun god. In the Vayu Purana, the positions of the horse is described. Saptasva Rupa Chandamsi Vahanti Vamato Ravim Chakra Paksha Nibaddani Chakra Vaksha Samahita. Although Arunadeva is in the front seat controlling the horse, he looks back towards the sun god from his left side. There are 60,000 saintly persons named Vali Kilyas, each the size of a thumb, who are located in front of the sun god and who offer him eloquent prayers of glorification. Similarly, 14 other saints, Gandharvas, Apsaras, Nagas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, and demigods, who are divided into groups of 2, assume different names each month and continuously perform different ritualistic ceremonies to worship the Supreme Lord as the most powerful demigod, Suryadeva, who holds many names. In Vishnu Purana, it is said, Stuvanti Munayaso Yagandai Vargiyate Pura Nityanto Saraso Yanti Surya Sanu Nisachara Vahanti Panagaya Chai Priyate Vishu Sangraha Vakilyas Kave Nam Parivarya Samasate Soyam Saptagana Surya Mandale Muni Saptama Himoshna Vari Rishinam Hedudve. Worshipping the most powerful demigod Surya, the Gandharvas sing in front of him, the Apsaras dance before the chariot, Nisacharas follow the chariot, Panagas decorate the chariot, the Yakshas guard the chariot, and the saints called the Valakilyas surround the sun god and offer prayers. The 7 groups of 14 associates arrange at proper times for regular snow, heat, and rain throughout the universe. My dear king, in his orbit through Bhumandala, the sun god traverses the distance of 95,100,000 yojanas at the speed of 2,000 yojanas and 2 kroshas in a moment. Thus, in the Bhagavad Gita purpose of 5th Gana 20, first chapter is Srimad Bhagavatam tells the movements of the sun. So, this is simply a description of, as we see here, the movements of the sun. The sun is traveling on a chariot above the Manasatara mountain range, which is that mountain range in one of the dvipas. And in the middle of the dvipa, there's a mountain range, which is circular. And on that is a chariot wheel of the sun. And the axle is fixed to Mount Meru. And then there's a rope going out to Dhruva Loka. And this revolves around. It turns around on that mountain range with the sun in it. So therefore, we have the sun turning around. On that mountain range are also 4 cities, one of Varuna and Yamaraj, etc., moon god. So, at the quarters of the circle. And so it describes here that there's day and night created by this. It is on one side, it is day, and it's night on the other side. Basically, that's what it's saying. plus, it describes here the progress of the sun through the different zodiac signs in different parts of the year. So it mentions Mesha and Libra, etc., or Tula, as the signs of equinox points where the days and nights are equal. So we have Uttarayana, when the sun gets higher and higher and higher, day by day, in the sky at noontime. And then at a certain point, it starts going down again. And that is called the Dakshinayana, where it starts decreasing every day, so that gradually the days become shorter and the nights become longer, until we hit December. And then we have the time when the nights are the longest, and then again we have increase, and it strikes the middle point again at Mesha, and then it goes up. So this is what we call the Uttarayana, Dakshinayana cycles of the sun in terms of seasons. That's described elsewhere, how that happens, the rising and going upwards every month, the sun jumps on a different chariot, apparently, and in this way it goes up and down. So, this is simply a technical explanation of the movements of the sun in terms of revolving around Mount Meru on a chariot. On the Manasikara mountain range, and accommodating day and night plus seasonal variations with the Uttarayana Dakshinayana. So this exists in relation to Bhumandala. That is the planets on are the areas beneath the sun. And as mentioned here, Mount Meru itself gets sunlight all the time. Can block out the sunlight by the shadow on the lower regions below. But Mount Meru's top, which has the residences of the Devatas and Surya and Brahma, that is always sunlight. So it never gets any darkness at all. The sun's going above Mount Meru. So this is the explanation here given of the movements of the sun in relation to what we see. The next chapter will describe the relation of or the movements of the other planets, because we see not only the sun moving, we also see Mercury and Saturn and Jupiter and other planets also moving throughout the constellations throughout the year. Of course, at a very slow rate, but nevertheless they move, as well as the moon. So these planets are described in the next chapter in relation to our perception on Bhumandala. So here we have a description of the movements in relation to a central point called Mount Meru, above which is Dhruvaloka. And Bharatvarsha is located somewhere near the center on Bharatvarsha, which is below Mount Meru, on the southern side, quite close to the Mount Meru in terms of the whole diameter of the Bhumandala. So here we have everything more or less revolving around the central point, with the Earth, or what we know as Bharatvarsha, quite close to the center. So it's more or less a geocentric explanation of motion of planets and sun, etc. That means in relation to us, what we see when we see up in the sky, we see things revolving around. So this is the type of explanation given here. And we may think, oh, that's wrong, because modern science tells us that we're revolving around the sun. And at the same time, the Earth is revolving. So the sun isn't revolving. However, we can explain it that way. It's probably easier to explain it that way. But from our point of view, also, if we simply take our particular position now, we can say the sun is also rotating around us. from a certain point of view. So if we take our fixed position, and then we can have everything rotating in relation to that. There's no harm in doing so. This is another way of explaining the movements, which will be a little more complicated perhaps, but nevertheless we can do so. So that is the position taken here, that we take ours as a fixed position, and then we explain everything in relation to this. Why we can do so is because it's all relative anyway. We can take the sun as the position of fixed point and then explain everything in terms of that. Or we can take the earth as fixed and explain everything in relation to that. Or we can take Jupiter as fixed and explain everything in relation to that. Even. And we can take any particular face and take that as a fixed point and explain the motions around in terms of that one fixed point. So it's only a relative explanation, one or the other. So we don't say one is right or one is wrong. It's just a different point of view, that's all. As I mentioned, some of the astronomers already had this idea of explanation of a spherical Earth and the Earth going around the Sun, etc. All of these things were explained by certain astronomers in about 800 BC or AD, I think it was 500 AD or whatnot, like that. So they also had that conception, but the astronomers. But as far as here, the Quranic version, we have a geocentric version of everything. And that everything is explained in terms of that, in terms of chariots and axles and all this, and Mount Meru. So, it's just another way of explaining the movements. The whole idea is to explain the movements of the sun and the planets in relation to the what we see on Earth. That's what it's for. Well, it's not explained, but the material worlds, all the universes together, within, let's say, Prakriti, etc., is nothing in comparison to the spiritual world. So where it exists and how it exists or whether it rotates, it doesn't really matter because it's infinitesimal in comparison to the spiritual world. In fact, all the universes will fit in the pores of Mahavishnu. So, and Mahavishnu in comparison to the spiritual world, we can say also is nothing because it's only one little cloud in the sky, so to speak. So it's insignificant.
The Uttarayana is considered more auspicious than Dakshinayana.
Huh?
Uttarayana.
It's considered more auspicious because it means increase. The sun's sunlight is increasing. And the proportion of day and night increases the daylight in the Uttarayana and decreases in the Dakshinayana. So therefore the Uttarayana is considered more auspicious. Just like the waxing phase of the moon where the moon is going towards Purnima is more auspicious than the moon decreasing. That's in relation to the moon. When the moon is in a certain nakshatra or constellation, then some are considered better than others. They have particular characters ruled by certain planets, so some are considered better than others, or more auspicious. Well, the it's not only nakshatras, but the particular date, the planets are in certain positions. All the nine planets are in particular zodiac signs, and there's a specific ascendant. So based on that, then we can interpret the karma of a person. Some degree, but even that's unpredictable. Because even if you predict a date, sometimes it doesn't happen on that. Usually it doesn't happen on that date. People do that. They ask me for a day, I give a day, and then it didn't happen on that day. It had to happen on a different day because of different reasons. So whatever you predict usually doesn't come true. You try to force it one time. And if you do on a particular day, it's not so much the day is important as the particular time, and that is even more variable. So, you know, 1 hour is good, 2 hours later the ascendant is bad. So, generally you can't choose that down to that degree in most cases.
Antara sujud ibadat dan fi, jalan malam malam fi.